Well, good morning again. Happy Sabbath. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would bless this part of the service today again. We ask your blessing upon the message that you have given me. I pray that it will be a blessing to the hearers. We thank you so much, Lord, for your provisions and your care for us. And today, may we leave this congregation knowing that we have been in your presence. And also, too, Lord, may we leave knowing that you are in control of this world and that you have the ability to save and to transform. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The sermon title today is God of the Universe. And I know that we know that God is the God of the universe. However, today we have to, I believe that we need to take a look at Scripture and look at Scripture in such a way that gives us a hope for our future and the challenges, of course, that we face on a regular basis. I know that as Seventh-day Adventists, we believe that God is the Creator. We don't have a problem with that. But the world around us struggles with this many times. Is there a God? Can God be trusted? Is God in charge of all things? Well, with the Christian faith, we believe that God is the Creator, and He is in charge of all things. And friends, if God is in charge of all things, thus creating the universe, the sphere above us, the stars, and so forth, God can take care of the problems or the cares of our lives. Amen? So today, looking at Scripture, one of the dominating facts of the Bible is that God is Creator. In fact, we have the example that all of us are aware of, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. God created the heavens and the earth. Well, in the forefront of all this in Scripture, God is identifying Himself, one, as the author of Scripture. Number two, He is also identifying Himself as the one who has created all things. He has created the earth below us, He has created the stars above, and He's created you and I. Friends, we have to recognize that God is in control. When we acknowledge that God is a creator, we also acknowledge Him as the one that is able to take care of our lives. Well, here's a problem we're faced with. We're faced with the sin problem in this world. All of us struggle with it. We wrestle with it. We have sins and temptations in our personal lives. How do we overcome them? How do we become victorious and so forth? Well, I hope today's message will give us a clear view to show us that if God is able to create the universe, then God is able to create in us the ability to overcome sin. And that's good news for you and I today. However, I'm going to take us down through a little trek through Scripture that will give us some insight of God's care for humanity. Turn with me to our Scripture reading today. Our Scripture reading today found in Isaiah chapter 45 and looking at verse 18. Isaiah 45 and verse 18. For thus says the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it, He created it, not in vain, He formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord, and there is none else. God identifies Himself as the Creator of the universe. The one who is the author of this world and this planet, He is the one who is God. Without question, without concern, we don't have to speculate, we don't have to guess. The one who is the true God is the Creator. And that's how God identifies Him many times through Scripture. However, noticing this here, in verse 18, the Lord that created the heavens. I mean, you look up into the heavens, it's a spectacular view of God's handiwork, isn't it? It's just completely amazing. Then it says, God Himself that formed the earth. It's amazing. I mean, the complexity of this world and this planet that we live in, it's amazing. Its structure, how it holds life, how it contains life, it's just absolutely awe-striking as we behold it. And then it goes on to say, He has established it. In other words, God made planet Earth for a purpose and a reason. In fact, the next portion of this verse says what? He created it not in vain. In other words, God, when He created the heavens and the earth, when He made planet Earth, He had a master plan that He predestined, if you will, that planet Earth should be inhabited with mankind. In fact, if you look at verse 12 of Isaiah 45, He says, I have made the earth and I created man upon it. In other words, God created man for this very reason, that it should be populated by a human race. Amen? Now that's good news for us today. God created the earth and all that was in it so that mankind can have dominion over it. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Genesis. If we go to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Notice the purpose for which God had created the heavens and the earth, specifically planet Earth. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion over, as it says here, the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God created planet Earth that man should have dominion over it. In other words, man was to be its ruler. Man was to be its king of planet Earth. Man was to have dominion over everything. However, there was a problem. Sin entered the picture. And when sin entered the picture, it put a pause button in God's master plan for his created or his creation work. Well, let's look at a couple of these things here, or let's look at first some example here. In John chapter 1, we read this. God created. However, Jesus is the one who is the author of this creative work here. Let's look at John chapter 1 here. John chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 and onward. And I know you're familiar with these verses, but just so that we can have a platform here today, let's look at John chapter 1 together. John chapter 1 and verse 1. And again, I know you're familiar with these verses, but let's get a foundation here for us today. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here we identify Christ as one who is with God or is equal with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So here in John chapter 1, the God of the universe is also Jesus, who also created the heavens and the earth. He created planet Earth, and He established mankind upon it. In fact, when we read in Genesis chapter 1, we can see the plurality of the Godhead. Let us, plural, make man in our, once again plural, in our image and in our likeness and so forth. So we have an identifier of who the part of this Godhead is. It's Jesus. Jesus is the creator of heaven and earth. And then it goes in verse 4, it goes on, it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Well, let's skip down a couple of verses here and go to verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Who is that? Obviously, it's Christ. Jesus is the one that came to this world, and the world didn't recognize Him. In fact, verse 11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him what? Received Him not. So the Creator of the universe, the Creator of planet Earth, came to this planet, and the planet rejected Him, or they did not accept Him, except for a certain few. It's interesting here is that Jesus, who created the heavens and the earth, who coexisted with God, worked with God, in the creation as part of the Godhead, created the heavens and the earth. He created the heavens and the earth, and He created the earth for a purpose that it should be populated by the human race. What does this tell us about our God? It tells us that God is a loving God, and He desires a companionship with people. And that's good news for us today as well. God desires a companionship with you and I. Amen? In fact, we read in the book of Genesis is that Jesus came, or God came walking in the cool of the evening, calling out to Adam and Eve. He made a regular visit to His creation. He made a regular visit to them, to fellowship with them, and to minister to them, and probably to answer their questions as they are inquisitive about His creative work and so forth. God came down to visit. Isn't that interesting? That God has a desire to have companionship with His human race. Friends, that goes against many of the popular or secular thoughts of this world today, that God just hit the big button, everything came into existence, And then he just sat back and let it unfold. God is not an impersonal God. The world tells us many times that God is impersonal. He's this judgmental, vindictive God who has no desire to have any relationship with his human family. Friends, that is a falsehood, that is a lie that Satan has put into the secular minds, that God is just this arbitrary God who can care less about the human race. In fact, it is just the opposite. When we see God's handiwork and him as being creator, having a desire to have fellowship with us, friends, we see a loving God. Amen? And friends, if God can create the universe, if he can create the earth, if he can establish everything on it, then friends, God can take care of you. Amen? And that's good news for you and I here today. Well, let's look at a couple of things here today. Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 7 and 9. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. Now, here's something that is completely fascinating throughout Scripture. With the character of God and the validity of God's love. In Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 7 and 9 here. Notice what these verses say here. Okay? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 7 and 9. The Bible says this, "Thou madest him," talking about Christ, "a little lower," and in the Greek context, "for a little while." If you put those words together, "for a little while" or "a little lower than the angels," in other words, for a certain amount of time, Jesus, the God of the universe, was made a little less than the angels. Isn't Jesus the head of all angels? Isn't he the creator of all the angels? Did not Jesus say, "When I come again, I will bring all my holy angels with me"? So Jesus is really above the angels. But here it says he was created a little lower. And friends, why is this significant today? Well, just hold on here, and I'll help give you that answer today. He was made a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy what? The works of thy hands. In other words, Jesus came to planet Earth. He was made a little lower than the angels, and he was placed above the dominion of planet Earth. Why? That's an interesting question today. Why did Christ come to planet Earth? Because the dominionship which belonged to Adam and Eve was taken away from them the moment that they bit into the fruit. Friends, if God was an arbitrary God, if God was this God that had no desire to be or have fellowship with his human race, he could have stayed up there and let man disintegrate and become obsolete from planet Earth without making any interference with the effects of sin. But here's what's fascinating. The moment that Adam and Eve sinned, God's love aroused within him, saw a need for planet Earth, and immediately he stepped up to the plate and he says, "I have a solution to the problem." Do you remember what happened to Adam and Eve? They were running around naked throughout the garden. And God came and he met with them and he clothed them with coats of skin. He had a sacrifice in the garden there which pointed to Adam and Eve and said, "Look, you are not going to die at this very moment. In fact, here is a substitute. In fact, I'm going to clothe you with garments of skin." And then he gave a wonderful promise after he clothed them. He was pointing to them and showing them that there was hope for their sin problem. They may not have understood it or comprehended it immediately, but there was a sacrifice in place of their supposedly should have died. However, or the next step here, God told Adam and Eve, and he talked to the serpent, and he said, "There will be a seed that will come that will crush your head." A promise that the Messiah or somebody would come who would deliver them from the penalty of this condemnation of sin. Amen. At the very beginning of time, as the Bible says, from the foundations of the world, the moment the earth was created, God had a plan in place for planet Earth in case there was a falling out, God or Jesus would step in for the human race and to redeem them from their sin. Amen. Friends, that is wonderful news here. And Daniel chapter 9 specifically tells us that there was going to be a Messiah that would come. He would come in an appointed time, and he would die for his people. Amen? Jesus was ordained at the foundations of the world. He was prophesied about in Daniel chapter 9, and Jesus came right on time. Friends, why is this fascinating? Because the God of the universe came to planet Earth to redeem humanity. What does that tell us about God? It tells us that we serve a loving God. Amen? What a God we serve. A God that would be willing to come to planet Earth and to die for His creation. Amen? Now let's move on here. In Hebrews chapter 2 here, in verse 7 and onwards. Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet. For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing is not put under Him. But now we see not, yet all things were put under Him. So in other words, where man failed and lost his dominion over planet Earth, Jesus came and became man for us to claim the authority to have dominion over planet Earth. And you can see this wrestle taking place, this conflict. You remember when Jesus was walking through the wilderness? Satan came to Him with the temptation, and He showed Him everything of planet Earth. He said, all this I will give you if you will do what? Worship Me. So what was on the line there when Christ was there ministering? Not only was the future of mankind, but the future of planet Earth. Jesus could have taken planet Earth then and not die and claimed planet Earth, but He wouldn't have saved humanity, you see. And Satan was offering Him an easy way out, saying, look, if you just worship Me, forget about it. We'll have planet Earth together. You won't have to die that cruel death. But what did Jesus decide to do? He became man for us, subjected Himself to the same temptations so that He can redeem you and I from planet Earth. Redeem you and I from the fault of the sin of this world. Amen? Wonderful news for you and I today. Jesus claimed all authority so that He can once again put planet Earth under the dominion of man. In other words, Jesus died so that He can restore all things. Amen? Powerful message here today. And then He goes on to say in verse 9, but we see Jesus, all right, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned Him with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for what? For every man. In other words, He became the substitute for you and I. He became the sacrifice so that you and I would not have to suffer the penalty of death. Well, I know for some of us, or many of us, this is not new news. This is old news. What's so fascinating as I was looking through this today, why is this so important for us today, and how does it impact us today? Well, I'm just going to give you a couple verses. I'm just going to share them with you. Philippians chapter 2 tells us, God, or Jesus, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but was made a little lower. It's interesting that Jesus, who was equal with God on the same page, or He is a part of the Godhead, was there from the foundations of the world, has always existed, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, He chose, made a decision to set aside His authority and kingly crown to become less than angels on our behalf. In other words, it reveals to us the loving character and the love of God for humanity. Now, this is where I got kind of excited as I was preparing this message. In the Bible commentary, in regards to Isaiah 45, our scripture reading, it says this, to be inhabited. The earth was not created in vain. We talked about that for a moment. It was designed to be the home of man. Regardless of what may be the purpose of the enemy and what ruin he may accomplish by sin, God's original plan will at length be carried out. Creation was a purposeful act, not merely an end of itself. In other words, when God created heaven and earth, when He created earth, it wasn't an end when He said, it is finished or it is done, I have completed all things here. God had a purposed plan for the continuation of humanity on planet Earth. But notice this. It says this, sin has postponed the realization of that purpose. Did you catch that? Sin has postponed the realization of that purpose. The realization of that purpose was for man to live forever, and God had great plans and expectations for His creation who had dominion over planet Earth. But it was postponed the moment Adam and Eve took the fruit. And it was postponed, and because of that postponing, Jesus had to come down to take care of the sin problem so He can continue with the great plan that He had from the beginning. What is that great plan? To be honest with you, I do not know. But it sure is going to be fascinating when we come back to planet Earth again and we inhabit planet Earth together in God's family and in human race, walking planet Earth under the dominion or under the authority of God, having dominion over planet Earth. We will continue to fulfill the promise that was postponed for a time that Satan brought us into an encounter. Notice this. Sin has postponed the realization of that purpose, but though postponed for a time, it will be ultimately achieved. And of course, they use the desire of ages, God's infinite purpose, no haste and no delay. Although there may be a delay, God said there is no delay. How so? Because Jesus came to die for you and I. In other words, He purposed, He planned, He desired to die for you and I. Even though there was a postponement for us, Jesus said, "Hey, wait a minute. I won't let this postponement last too long. I will come and stand in their place so that they can live forever." Amen. Friends, what wonderful news, what wonderful hope for us today is that Jesus came to this earth not in vain, not just to free us from the bondage of sin, but to give us our rightful place to have dominion over this planet, planet Earth. Friends, what do you say about that? Amen? What a God we serve. Amen? He came to this earth to free us from our sin. He came to this earth to once again establish us in our rightful place to have dominion over planet Earth. Well, for God so loved the world that He did what? That He gave His only Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Do you see something fascinating here? Do you see something interesting? I wonder if you see the picture that I see. Though planet Earth was taken away from us for a moment, Jesus died to give this planet back into our hands again. What does that tell us, friends? It tells us that we serve a God of love. God purposed that man should have dominion over planet Earth. We lost that when we sinned. When we decide to take that fruit, which wasn't ours, when we disobeyed God, that dominion was taken away. And God could have said, "You know what? I don't want these people having dominion. They had their chance." But God is a God of second chances. Amen? He gives us an opportunity to choose Him so that we can have once again our rightful place. It's like He picks us up, cleans us off, and He says, "Here, this is yours if you'll but accept Me." Friends, Jesus is in control. Amen? Satan can rant, he can rave, he can claim authorship in your life, he can claim authorship of this world, he can say it's mine and mine and mine only, but friends, it's just a lie. Amen? Friends, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior, you belong to God. Amen? If we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, He once again will establish planet Earth under our feet, and we will have dominion over it as He had planned from beginning of time. Friends, God had a purpose to accomplish in creating planet Earth. Do you want to be a part of that purpose? Do you want to be a part of that plan? Do you want to fulfill the wishes of God by having dominion and continuing on in this earth? And friends, in order to do that, you need to accept Jesus right now. Jesus did something great for you. He died so that He can establish you to make you what you ought to be. He loves you, He cares for you, and He has a desire for you to live for eternity without pain, without suffering, without sorrow, without any of that. Jesus came so that we wouldn't have to suffer, so that we could be victorious, so that we can be victorious, and so that we once again will have our rightful place in the space of eternity and have dominion over planet Earth. What a wonderful God we serve. The question for you and I today is, will you serve Him? Will you accept Him as Lord and Savior? Will you adopt Him as your personal Lord and Savior? Will you accept Him to forgive you of your sins? Will you accept Him to transform your life and to renew your heart and mind? Friends, what a wonderful gift God has given to us. Dominion over all things again. But friends, it comes first. We must accept Jesus. My appeal to you today is accept Jesus just as you are. Place all your burdens and your cares at His feet. If God is able to hang this ball in its place and to cause the sun to do its work and the earth to rotate, then friends, God can take care of your sins. If Jesus can come to planet Earth to suffer and die, He has power to enable us to be victorious. You see, God has paved the way for us. And He did everything possible to redeem you and I. Will you accept that gift today? Will you accept that gift through Jesus Christ? I hope you do. Friends, it's my goal as a minister that we all will be in heaven together. It's my goal that I will be there and my family will be there. What is your goal today? Is it your desire? If so, as I pray today, I invite you to ask Jesus into your heart, to allow Him to transform and to renew. And friends, envision for a moment as you pray what it must be like and what it will be like to walk on planet Earth again, where there's no blight of sin, no more sorrow, no more decay, but in its perfect realm which God had established it, what that planet must look like at that time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I come to You today and I thank You for giving us this message today. Though this planet was taken from us, though we were supposed to have dominion over it, we lost it because we had sinned. Thank You, Jesus, that You came to this earth to take possession of this planet, to win it back by dying on the cross, so that You may, in return, give that planet, this planet, back to us. You are not a God that takes or steals or an arbitrary God that is hateful or vengeful, but You are a giving and loving God. It's amazing, Lord, what You are willing to do. You're willing to lay down Your crown, Your scepter, Your authority, Your omnipotence, and to come here to die for you and I, that we may have eternal life. I pray now that in this hour, that as we are sitting here, as we are bowing our heads, that our minds will envision that great, beautiful, glorious place that You have prepared for us, planet Earth restored new. That's something that You've won for us, to give it back to us. And also, too, Lord, to give us our rightful place in the plan of creation, in the plan of this earth. Though we may not fully understand and comprehend what Your great plans were, what You had planned before man had sinned, or what the expectation was in the future for us to live without sin, I know, Lord, it was postponed for a time, but You put an end so that once and final, You can give us a new start here on planet Earth. Lord, restore all things. Revive our hearts. Revive our minds. Heal us, Lord, from our sins. Restore us once again. Cleanse us, Lord. And help us today, those that are struggling in this congregation, walk up and down the midst of these aisles. Touch each heart. And it's my prayer and my desire this moment that each here will reach out to You and accept You as Lord and Savior, so that we can have, they can have, their rightful place in the time of eternity. Thank You, Lord, for all that You've done and all that You're doing. Bless us, I pray, this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.